Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. We're having a soggy Sunday morning here where we are. If you're watching online, maybe the weather's a little better by you, but we're glad that you've joined us for worship today. As we begin this morning, let's just take a deep breath and get comfortable where we are, prepared to worship by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. And thank you even for the rain, Lord, that waters the ground and provides for our needs. This morning, as we're entering into worship, help us to experience your presence. Help us to know your power, to remember all of your wonderful blessings to us this week. We give thanks for all that you have done. And as we seek to sing to you, Lord, a new song, and as we seek to look to your word for insight and growth together, as we pray and all that we do today, may you be glorified and honored. May our lives be formed more deeply in faith. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
Lord God Almighty,
Okay, at this time we want to go to prayer. We want to pray for those of our number who are sick and need the Lord's touch. We're praying for Joy, who still has a shoulder injury, and also for Connie with her neck. Connie has a procedure coming up at the end of this week. We want to pray also for Delia, who hopefully has a procedure coming up in the next week or two. And we want to pray for those who are traveling today. And we want to pray for just our world, all the decisions being made in our government right now, natural disasters, and of course, we're still battling the virus. So please continue to be careful. The numbers have improved slightly for our county, but just ever so slightly. So continue to be vigilant as we hope to put these days behind us. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful because you saw us in our need, and you came down into our world, and you showed us the way, and then you made a way where there was no way. Lord, you shared yourself with us in ways we can't fully comprehend with our minds, but we experience it in our bodies, in our lives, and we are grateful for the sanctifying presence of the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us. And Father, for your saving grace that forgave us our sins. And you are the one that we go to if we stumble and fall. You are the one who can provide for us in Jesus. And as we experience the gift of forgiveness, Lord, we go on to experience the full power of your cleansing in our lives. So help us to walk with you by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be your faithful people in the world. And Lord, help us in our needs as we do this. Be with those who are suffering today. Be especially near to Joy and to Connie in their pain this morning. And continue to bring them out of it by your grace. We pray for others who need your touch or have procedures coming up. We know you'll provide as we look to you, Lord, and we're thankful that you are the great physician. And Father, we pray for our world. We know there's so much going on, and because of technology, we're able to hear and know, and sometimes it's almost too much to take in. And so, Lord, we don't want to become overwhelmed with our burden for things. And yet we know where to take our burden. We take it to the foot of the cross. We take it to Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to intervene in situations where that is needed. We ask, Lord, in areas of natural disaster, that things would be brought under control and that people would be rescued and delivered. And we pray for those that are still dealing with the virus in heavy ways. We know that it's still an issue where we live. So we just ask you'll help us to be vigilant and patient along the way as we're dealing with life during a pandemic. Help us not to lose heart. Help us not to lose our nerve. And we pray for those who are sick and suffering, a nearby Nazarene pastor and his wife still seeking to fully recover from the virus. So be with Ron and be with his wife today as well. And Father, we just pray that through all of this, you'll be reminding us of how precious life is, how each day is a gift from you, and that in you we can overcome and make the most of each day that you have blessed us with. Of course, we want to be about your business in sharing the good news in the world. So bless our discipleship, Lord. Keep us walking in step with you. And may we, in concert together, bless our world around us. We're grateful for all that you're doing now and for what you have in store yet to come. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. All right, so the offering you can give in the plates at the back, and you can also give online at fairmeadowchurch.org. Click the Give Now button there. You can also on Facebook find our Facebook page, it's at Fairmeadow Naz is our Facebook page. You can give using the Donate button there. You can mail it in. Someone mailed in a check this week. We're grateful for that. However you can give, we appreciate your faithful stewardship in helping us to continue to minister. And of course, we are trying to raise money for the HVAC unit. We're so close right now. We're actually even closer than this. I believe there's still another gift of about $98 to come through. So we're right at about $225 or $30 left that we need to raise. So maybe we'll be able to do that today or this week so we can get that unit on the roof in time for the very cold weather to come. So please pray about what you can do to help. All right. At this time, let's turn our attention to God's Word. We're still in the book of Acts, working our way through, both here and in our Sunday school time after church. And today we're in Acts chapter 10. So let's stand in honor of God's word as we read about an amazing experience that Peter had. So this is the word of the Lord. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him. And after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again, a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Look, three men are searching for you. Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." So Peter went down to the men and said, "I'm the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" They answered, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa accompanied them. This is God's word. You can be seated. Well, judging people is a very popular sport. And it seems like with social media, it's taken this popularity through the stratosphere, right? With cancel culture and tweets and comments, we tear people apart within a few minutes. We judge them based on what we think of them, based on what we know of them. And less do we worry if we know enough to form our judgment. Do you hear what I'm saying there? We don't concern ourselves. We heard one fact that may or may not be confirmed, and it's against what we think, against our take. And so we have a hot take, right? That's an immediate gut-level response, and boom, we say things and we judge. Now, I say we. Hopefully, I'm not actually including anyone who's hearing this message this morning. But maybe sometimes we do. Judging people on the outside, judging people by how they line up with what we like and what we don't like, just feeling free to decide whether others measure up. Well, let's realize, as we've been reading through the book of Acts together, the way that you might judge people from the outside isn't really lining up that well with what's happening on the pages of this book. The characters that we've been introduced to have mostly been very flawed people, or people without any special training, and yet God has used them. Because that's a fact, ladies and gentlemen, that God uses surprising people. Let's just say that together. God uses surprising people. And so we should never forget that. We should never imagine that it will always go as we expect things to go. In fact, quite the opposite. God will pick the least likely person at times. Whether, let's say, when Jesus was watching people presenting their gifts, and there were people coming up and presenting huge amounts, and trumpets were blown. And then there was a widow who came up, and people barely noticed as she tossed this tiny bit into the bin. And he said that her gift was the greatest gift of all, because they gave even such a large amount, it was still a small amount compared to all that they had. But what she gave was all that she had. And so God has special insight into people's lives, and though we may judge one way from the outside, he not only sees the heart, but he sees the full meaning of our actions. And here's another thing that we're learning in the book of Acts, and that is that God is interested in reaching a wide variety of people that we might just look past. Because when it comes down to it, everyone, it seems. Everyone. And if you thought you were in the special group, this is a hard thing to hear. But everyone is welcome to pursue God. Do you get those State Farm commercials on TV like we do at our house or online when you're watching things? And the silly quarterback from that team up north that always seems to beat us, you know who I'm talking about? And he's always gone to his State Farm agent, and he's saying he's in a disguise, and he's watching to see if he's going to give the same rate to some other guy. And he's like, you gave my special rate? I'm a superstar. I get this rate because of who I am. And he's like, no, everybody gets those rates, right? And he stomps off upset, right? Well, that's what it is like when people want to feel part of an exclusive club that's actually open to everyone. But the apostles are learning that everyone is welcome to pursue God. Everyone. All races. Men, women, children, whatever pronouns they use, however they identify, God loves them. And so the early church is learning how to love them, even if they don't know them yet. You don't have to give full approval to everyone's background in order to love them. Amen. You don't have to endorse everything about their current lifestyle to be able to tell them about Jesus. Amen. And you can be patient with them and loving with them the same way that God is, as God works in their life and begins to teach them the things that he taught you over many years as well. You do have to care about people, and you have to care about more than just how they measure up to your internal standards. You don't have to understand everything about someone's ethnic culture to be able to love them, but you do, if they're from a slightly different cultural background, you do have to care about their culture. You have to care about their language, their family. You can't, as a Christian, just expect people always to make it easy for you. Do you hear what I'm saying there? Does someone have to fully adopt your exact language and dress and habits for you to see them as a whole person? Do you have respect for people who are different than you, who don't quite speak your language fluently, but they're doing pretty good at it? In fact, they're doing a lot better than you could do with their language. Amen? Do we ever think about that? Well, here's another angle on all of this. Recently, we saw the passing of General Colin Powell. Remember this guy? He served his country for 33 years, and he had to overcome a lot of prejudice along the way. Colin Powell was that special kind of person who learned how to rise above. He never let himself be limited by what other people thought of him. Instead, he found a way to do the things that were before him to do. And he eventually learned even how to bring people of all types together for great things. He shared a story once about how when he was a young lieutenant, a man who was above him said, "Well, you're the best black lieutenant I've ever seen." He said the man didn't even understand that what he was saying was insulting. He wasn't even aware of the racism that he carried within himself, but he said, "All I thought to myself was, before I'm done, I'm going to be the best lieutenant you've ever seen, and you're going to forget about what color I am." Now, he rose above, and he went beyond, and just an exceptional person who became an exceptional leader. But his experience isn't typical. Many people of color are discounted no matter how well they perform. And I'm not talking about political ideology here. I'm talking about things that I've observed with my own two eyes and things I've heard with my ears. And so when you look at Colin Powell, you think, well, he's the exception that proves the rule. Whatever you think of his politics or all of his actions, we all eventually saw the level of achievement that Powell was capable of. But as I mentioned, many people along the way didn't see him that way simply because of his color. For many people, a large young black man is always perceived as a threat whenever they're close to them. A friend of mine has shared this experience. If he steps onto an elevator, people get nervous. Now, with Colin Powell, if his complexion had been darker, he might have had an even more difficult time. But he went through all of these things that black young men go through, and he overcame. But a good man, a hardworking man from a good, hardworking family. But Powell had to break down the stereotypes through actions that met such a high standard, he could not be denied. Well, he reminds me a bit of Cornelius. He's risen to the rank of a Roman centurion. He's a proven leader of 100 men or more. He's a good man. He gives to the poor. He prays. He's seeking the one true God, even though he's surrounded by a pagan culture and even a system within the Roman government that values power and riches and participation in these pagan things. He was rising above that to seek the Lord himself. But all of that would get him only so far in a typical synagogue of the time. Even Peter, who had just stood up at Pentecost and seen the gospel go out through so many languages that were being spoken by people who never learned those languages and people from all different countries were hearing the truth. He saw all of that, and yet he wasn't fully prepared to accept someone like Cornelius. It was simply because he was not a Jew. He's a Roman, and he's not Jewish by birth, and he's a Roman centurion, so maybe that carried an edge to it, the occupying forces. The list goes on of things that you could have against a man like Cornelius before you got to know him. Peter might not bother to find out if he gives to the poor or if he prays and tries to follow God. Just by looking at him, he knows unclean, so I'm going to steer clear. Or at least he thinks he knows that. This is going to limit, right? If this is the outlook of the apostles as they begin to minister, it's going to limit how the message of Jesus goes around the world. So many who are seeking God won't be found because of this prejudice they would have been carrying with them. But God was up to something very big, and so once again, it called for a powerful intervention. Peter had been trained to look at the world one way, but God didn't waste any time totally changing his outlook. So, everyone is welcome to follow Jesus. Now again, we tend to line people up in categories: Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, free. Here's what God says about that in Galatians 3, 28 and 29. Let's read this together. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Powerful, almost incredible words. Could we add black, white? Could we add Hispanic or Latinx and white? Some are conditioned to hate on sight anyone who looks different. But in the church, it's becoming clear by this point in the story of Acts that God is having none of this. It's not the foundation upon which the church is to be built. We can't denigrate anyone because of their background. We can't treat someone less because of their color. And even if we don't agree with their lifestyle, we're called to love people that we encounter, whether it's out there or in here. And anyone who's willing to follow Jesus and his guidelines is welcome to join the journey. So Peter has the vision. The sheet comes down full of animals, wild animals that would have been considered unclean. Take, Peter, kill and eat. No, Lord, I'll never do it, he thinks. This is a test of my morality, God seeing if I'll slip, even during a vision. Now, in a way, it is a test, but he's thinking about it wrong. Peter, will you cling to an idea that you have applied wrongly? Or will you hear God say, clean? That's really the test that he was supposed to pass. So Peter has this strange experience. He hears God say, don't call anything unclean that I have made clean. And he's looking right at these things that he was taught were unclean. And then just as quickly as they came, they're taken up and away. And then Peter wakes up. There's a knock at the door. And God didn't want to give him too much time to overthink it or just decide it was a bad dream. And so at the nudging of the Holy Spirit, he goes with these men. And they also are good men. And Peter arrives eventually to a household of people where Cornelius has gathered them in his living room or great room or whatever it was. These were all people that Cornelius had found and loved and reached out to, and he believed that they were all ready to receive and hear the good news. And he's so excited. He's got them in his home. He's got them fed and lined up and ready to go. What a beautiful scene, isn't it? This good man that God saw, this good man, Cornelius. Don't call anything unclean that I have called clean. And more importantly, don't call anyone unclean that I have called clean. So God is really trusting Peter here, trusting him with a huge responsibility, trusting that he's learned this lesson very quickly. And Cornelius is trusting. He's put it on the line because he's asked these people to come and he doesn't want them to go away upset. Trusting that God has sent the right man at the right moment to make all the difference for all of them. Let's pick it up in verse 34. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who are chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Powerful sermon, right off the top of his head, because he had studied hard, because he had listened well, because the Holy Spirit was using him. And so Peter just nails it. He explains the grace and forgiveness of God. He settles it once and for all that the gospel is for everyone, and God settles it once and for all that as Christians, we are called to let go of prejudice and embrace others. Amen? Everyone is challenged to live God's way. So verse 34 and 35, let's take a quick look again. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So God accepts people of any background. But in stepping forward in faith, people step away from old ways of life and into a new reality. Anyone who confesses Jesus as Lord makes a commitment to do what is right. And nobody's perfect. We all understand that. We shouldn't begin to think that we're superior because we've made this profession of faith. But God begins to give us the power to change. And we might not ever achieve perfect performance, but we can be filled with perfect love. That's what the Word of God says. And let's put a few things in perspective. You're probably all from Gentile descent, just about everyone. Maybe someone watching online isn't, but we're glad you're watching. That's awesome. But those of us who are of Gentile descent, we had no chance to know Jesus apart from this moment. Do you understand all that was at stake? Here's another fact. Christianity has existed continuously on other continents longer than ours. Africa, for example, continuously a Christian presence there, much longer than here in North America. We are all outsiders, so how dare we exclude anyone from the good news? But don't worry, because God has the same expectations for everyone. Nobody's getting a discount, but chances are you naturally are drawn with your human eye to focus on problems that other people have that are different from your own. They stand out in stark relief, and you say, oh, I would never do that. How do they do that? But it just may be that there are things that you struggle with that you're very aware of, and you've somehow perhaps grown comfortable with it over the years, and they don't struggle in that area. But you don't see that. So again, we shouldn't judge. So, what do we do? How do we respond to this? Well, it's always best to focus on our own obedience rather than what you think others should do. I'm going to say that again. It's best to focus on your own obedience rather than what you think others should do. Let God take care of the change that needs to come in the lives of others, just as God is taking care of the change that needs to come in your life. Peter's focus that day was on what God was calling him to do. Go with these men. Share Jesus with them despite the differences. And he saw the best in the people that he encountered. And he knew that God was working in their lives, even if they didn't have it all together yet. Nobody ever makes it into the kingdom of God without a sponsor, without someone who will believe in them, invest in them, and love them. So rather than sitting in judgment on others, we better get in step with what God is saying on behalf of others. We don't want to get in God's way. I'm going to say that again. We don't want to get in God's way. If we stand in the way of God reaching others, he'll have to reach around us. And suddenly we may find ourselves on the outside of God's will, and it'll be our own fault. And it's not the place to be. Continuing on in verses 47 and 48. Peter says the following, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Beautiful, beautiful scene. Amazing life change happening. Hope coming to places it had never been before, because a few people let God open their minds and hearts to a new way of thinking, and ministry happened. So don't be like the old Peter, stuck in a mindset that excluded people who were trying to respond to God's invitation. How much better to be like where Peter ended up, to be there opening the door to invite people in. How much better to be open to all people. How much better to be seeing what God has already done in their lives and acknowledging that and continuing to love them. How much better to celebrate reborn citizens in the kingdom of God. The only way we can do that is if we open our hearts. Well, that's what I'm in ministry to see. And I hope that's what you're here to see. And I hope it's what you want more than other lesser things. God is calling us to be flexible. So let's not be ruling people out. God is calling us to care about those turning to God. So this morning, ask yourself this: who is Cornelius in your life? Who is Cornelius in your life? Perhaps an unlikely person. Perhaps a person it would be easy for you to look past. Someone who needs your encouragement to find themselves all the way into the church, all the way into the kingdom of God, all the way into our blessed hope. I hope there's someone the Lord is bringing to mind for you that you could reach out to, that you could speak truth to, but more importantly, that you could open your mind and heart to because of the love of God. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We've had good moments in our journey with you, but the journey continues. And so many other influences pound on us. And we can develop a hard shell, or we can develop shortcuts along the way to dealing with life and dealing with people. May we never shortcut seeing where you are at work in their lives. May we never discount others because they look different, because they sound different. Father, because right now their lives aren't all together, well, if we're honest, our lives aren't all together yet either. So, Father, help us to be the kind of people who count others in rather than out, who want to tell everyone about Jesus, who can trust that God will work in their life and work out all the things that need to be worked out. They can be the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be the Holy Spirit for them. All we have to do is obey and share Jesus and extend the invitation. Father, convict us where we need it. Grip us this morning with a passion to love others. And Father, I pray for those Corneliuses out there that are within our circle of influence. People who even at this moment are so ready to say a full yes to Jesus if someone will just give them the signal that it's okay. And oh, someone who could reach so many other people. They have a whole web of friendships of people who are also so ready to experience God. If we would just open the door, if we would just say a good word into their lives, if we would hear your word not to call anyone unclean. And Father, it gets hard sometimes. Sometimes people are really different than us. Sometimes it comes up against things that naturally make us uncomfortable. But Lord, it seems like you almost want us sometimes to be uncomfortable so that we can grow in you. So, Father, help us stir the pot. Lord, stir up our conscience. Do whatever you need to do to move more deeply in our lives that will be in alignment with what you say in your word. And Father, may we be like Peter and say, who could stand in the way of their being baptized? Who could stand in the way because they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Father, I pray that that'll be so. I pray that there'll be unlikely people we'll be able to reach in the days and weeks ahead. And I pray that we'll be bold and loving for you, speaking the truth, and that some people will be saved out of darkness. And others who've been walking in the light, but just who haven't known how to pull it all together, will find Jesus fully and then just explode and launch into life with him like you did with Cornelius. Thank you for recording this witness and for the early church allowing it to be written down, warts and all, so we could see both their struggles and their breakthroughs. And may it continue to be true here in this neighborhood and in ours. Before we close in prayer, with your eyes still closed, if God has nudged you today, and you're leaning in, and you're saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to open my heart, and I want you to use me in an even bigger way, would you lift your hand this morning and say yes? Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll work in each of these lives. Everyone more fully open to you. Everyone ready to be used of you. Everyone not ruling anyone out, but ready to share in love. As we are your faithful people, we will see people coming to Jesus. We will see people being baptized. We will see people born again into the fullness of life with you. And for all of that, and for all of your faithfulness, we say thank you, and amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.